Yeah, I think so. I think for the teaching when that goes on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do I need this on right now? Probably not, right? Not until I teach, probably, right? Okay. All right. It'll be different. Sing loud. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. This is a totally new experience for us tonight here, but we're so glad that we have this opportunity. It's going to be an opportunity to give the Lord glory and to praise the Lord and to come before His presence with singing, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Samuel is most likely in North Carolina, South Carolina right now, and it's just us few here tonight, but we know God's in the midst of His people. So we're going to worship Him and praise Him, and we welcome everybody who's online and just thankful that you're there. We're going to pray and believe that God's going to touch us all here tonight and give us what we have need of. Let's open up here with a prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege of coming before you, Lord. God, oh Lord, the things that you've shown us, Lord. Oh God, your greatness, your power, your majesty. Oh Lord, your ability. Oh God, that's beyond us, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd be here to meet every need, Lord. Just anyone who's here, Lord, and anyone who's online, anyone who will hear this message at some point, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would move by the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, that you would talk to our souls, Lord, and that you'd move in us, that you'd motivate us, that you'd change us. Oh God, that you'd give us the ability that we need here tonight, Lord, for we could do nothing without you. We praise you, Lord, and I pray that you'd be with your people, Lord. I pray that you'd keep them there in Oklahoma from any adverse weather, Lord, any tornadoes, oh God, anything else that would strike, heavy rains, Lord, anything else, Lord, be with your people, Lord. Keep them, Lord, as the apple of your eye, Lord. Be with them, Lord. Move in their lives, God. Let your healing virtue flow, Lord. Let your presence be felt, Lord. Oh God, we seek you, Lord. We know we need you, God. We know there's none other but you, Lord. And God, we know that you're here in the midst, oh Lord. Even be two or three that are gathered together in your name, Lord. You said you would be in the midst. And God, we ask you to be here, Lord, to touch, Lord, to move, Lord. God, I'm praying and believing, Lord, that you're going to touch Diane tonight, Lord, that you're going to heal her of that swelling, Lord. And oh God, that you're going to give her victory over all those adverse things, God, that are coming against her. Oh Lord, for thou art able, thou art our Savior. And oh God, help us to have faith and confidence in you. Oh Lord, we need it in every way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got my electronic piano here, so we're going to be singing with that. And just ask the Lord to help us in a special way here tonight. Amen. He walked this earth, there was none like him. They had to notice him. He had compassion like no other, and he was able to go about healing the sick and casting out those devils and bringing deliverance to them that were bound. What a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. He had compassion on me. have those assurances. I know sometimes you fight these fears battles, and you just, wow, you don't know what to think. It feels like confusion. It feels completely mysterious at times, and then all at once there's a breakthrough. The Lord answers. And you know, I'm always so amazed at how He answers us. It probably was not the way we ever imagined. But praise the Lord, He knows how to do that. And He loves us. Praise the Lord. He came to this world to save us, to redeem us, to buy us. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Let's sing Because He Lives. That's 98 there. Praise the Lord. Christian. Praise the Lord. Let's sing 157. Moving well. I mean, it's slipping and sliding. I don't have it.
Do you know?
Well, it's not tightening for me. So either my hand is just not strong enough, or I would think this would be the, you know, it moves here, but I think that would move it in and out. This one? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, right about here, I think. If that's, does that seem to be tightening it? It's such a tight experiment. Praise the Lord. There.
Thank you.
this back to you to get it out. Where are all the guys? We need them.
I need to get that back in here so it'll staple and help for you to.
It could be, otherwise we could move it too, so that it's, you know, at the proper distance, hopefully, or something like that. That's good. I need to point it up slightly, I think. So maybe we'll work for us tonight with the Lord's help. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All these little odds and ends that we have to do that we're not used to doing here tonight. Praise God for His help. Amen. We're going to be talking about a time for revival here tonight. And just a little different twist than I thought I was going to be doing today, but I guess that's not unusual either. But let's just pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to just show us and talk to us and give us what we need here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, that You've been so good to us, Lord. We thank You for Your outstretched hand and, oh Lord, the abilities that You give us, Lord, and, oh God, the desire that You put in our heart, Lord. Because if You hadn't drawn us, we would not be here, Lord. We would have no desire or inclination to seek You, Lord, and to go about Your ways, Lord. But I pray, oh Lord, that You'd help us, that You'd talk to us. Oh God, that You'd motivate us, that You'd change us. Oh God, that You'd put Your Spirit within us, Lord, and help us, oh Lord, to do the things that please You. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. And I ask, oh Lord, that, oh Lord, You would give me the words. And, oh God, help all of us, Lord, for we need You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What? Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. And I guess it's a night for new things. I've got my new Bible here, and I suppose it'll turn a little slow, and I've got to be a little careful. I don't want to bend all the pages, all those things, so if you can bear with me here. Praise the Lord. But we're going to go to 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, to begin here tonight. And as I said, we're going to talk about a time for revival. No sound up there? Maybe this is an odd. Right, all the things that Sam probably does for me usually. That's his mouth. Looks like that should be on. Paula, this way. Okay, I think it's on now. I think I might just go get my glasses too. Thank you. Okay, praise the Lord. Is that better now? Okay, praise the Lord. I'm sorry. We're not used to having to do all this ourselves. Oh, praise God. A time for revival here. 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. As we begin this subject here tonight, I just want to say we're kind of at the beginning of Israel's reign, more so toward the beginning than toward the end. Of course, David has had his time period, and Solomon his 40 years. And then we know that after Solomon died, that the kingdom split. And I'm sure it was no easy thing. It split, and there were 10 northern kingdoms after that, or 10 northern tribes after that, that joined together to form Israel, and the two southern tribes formed Judah. And we know that Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, he took over at that point, but he was not wise. And also because of actions that had taken place even in Solomon's life, the kingdom was split. And Jeroboam took over the other 10 northern tribes, and there was civil war between those two. And then after Rehoboam's 17 years, then his son took over, Abijah. And at that point, it almost looked like Abijah was making some advances there. He seemed like he was trying to bring back those northern tribes back to Judah, and he actually gained some of them back. He took some of those cities back. Bethel, for example, he took back, and Jeshanan and Ephraim were some of the cities that are mentioned in the 13th chapter of 2 Chronicles. But he had a short reign, just 3 years, and he died. And then it was the turn of his son Asa to reign. And that's where we're going to begin tonight, as we're going to be talking about Asa and a time for revival. And it's amazing what God can do if there's somebody who will step out in faith and do the work of God and be bold and to be courageous and to stand on God's promises and to abhor the things which are evil, and to get away from all those evil things. And this is what Asa did. So we'll begin by reading verse 1 here in chapter 14, 2 Chronicles. It says, Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Okay, let's just stop here a moment. And here we find that Asa took over after his dad, his father, passed away, Abijah. And praise the Lord, Asa had it in his heart to do that which was good and right in the eyes of God. And what a difference that makes. You know, of the 10 northern tribes that broke away, forming Israel, there was not one good king of all of them. They were all evil. They all did abominable works and had images and you know, forsook the ways of God. But here it was, Asa had it in his heart to do that which is right. And verse 3 tells us how he took away the altars of the strange gods, the high places where they would often worship strange gods. He broke down the images and he cut down the groves, those places that they gathered to worship their idolatrous means of worship, Baal and all those other gods that they followed after time. And also it tells us in 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, the 12th verse, that also the Sodomites were removed out of the land, which was a very significant detail too. It isn't told here in 2 Chronicles, but that detail is mentioned in this story in 1 Kings, that the Sodomites were removed out of the land. And that was, of course, very significant too. And it tells us that this king, Asa, commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. And because he did that, because he took down the high places and the images, God gave him rest. It was quiet. When it says rest, it means that there was no war. And what a beautiful time, because in most of the king's existence in their kingdomship, there were wars. But yet, because his conscience told him to serve the living God, and because he feared the Lord, and he did that which was good and right in God's sight, God gave him a period of time, 10 years of rest without a war, which is a wonderful thing. And, you know, if there's no war, you could probably do things that are prosperous. And this is what happened. It tells us in verse 6, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. What a beautiful thing. You know, there does remain a rest unto the children of God. You know, God had ordained that the Israelites, when they came into Canaan land, that they would have rest from their enemies. There was going to be that initial time period when they would have to have war and conquer the Canaanite people. But after that, it was supposed to be quiet. And they were supposed to have that period of time, like under their fig tree, which it signifies a time period of rest, of refreshing, of good things. And here it is. And thank God that rest also symbolizes the gift of the Holy Ghost that the Lord gives to his people under this second covenant time that we live in, this wonderful period of time that we live in. And it's such a wonderful thing, because if we have the rest of the Holy Ghost, then we can give everything to the Lord Jesus. We can give it all to him and rely on him and rest in him, knowing that he knows how to take care of our burdens. He knows how to bring us out of trouble. He knows how to deliver us. He knows how to talk to our souls. Praise the Lord. He knows how to give us victory. Praise the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing that he would give us rest, that rest of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God that he puts within our hearts so that we can serve him and know his will and have his mind if we only will do the things that please him. So here it is. There's a symbolism here as Asa has that time of rest because the Lord had given it to him and there was no war. It tells us in verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Now, there's a lot in this little verse here. And as we said, you know, this was a time of rest. And definitely, it sounds like they had that time to prosper, therefore. But you notice something very significant in that seventh verse. It says, because we sought the Lord. We have sought the Lord. And what a difference that makes. You never know what's going to happen when you seek the Lord. You know, I think as Christians, we know what it's like to have time periods when there seems to be no answer. And all you know is God has answers. And he has a way. And you know, he knows how to give us victory. But yet sometimes it just seems like, I don't know. You know, there's a conflict, there's a problem, there's a need. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's deliverance. Maybe it's a financial problem. Whatever it is, but seeking the Lord can make such a difference in one's life. I just was thinking today, remembering as I actually was conversing on the telephone for a short time today, and it was just brought to my mind several years ago, how my dad was really sick. He was just really sick. He'd been in the hospital, and I'd not been able to get there while he was in the hospital, but we were able to get up to Eau Claire after he'd been home for a little bit, and I can remember walking into the living room where my dad was sitting in his chair, and he didn't look very good at all. He really didn't. They said he had congestive heart failure, and there he was, just very thin, and seems like there might have, I think there was still fluid in his body. His ankles were fat and this and that, and he's breathing, he's just gasping like that as he sat on the chair, and I just, wow, you know, I think I probably started crying, but, you know, tried also, you know, be cheery for my dad's sake as best I could, but I was really bothered. It just really hurt. I wasn't really ready to give up my dad at that point, and he looked so sick there sitting in the chair. I'd never seen him like that before. I can remember I was staying at my folks' house in the little bedroom there, and I can remember that night I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I think I prayed most of the night. I just cried out to God, and it was so amazing. You just never know what God's going to do if you'll just believe Him. You just never know. We serve a mighty God, and He said that He would heal us of all our diseases. He said that He would save us from our sins. He said that He would deliver us, and His promises are yea and amen. And we can stand on them. We can believe God because He is God and He means what He says. And praise the Lord, I got up the next morning and it was night and day with Daddy. He didn't look so sick anymore. Oh my, he wasn't breathing like he had been breathing when I came into that house. It was altogether different. The Lord had touched him. Praise the Lord. The Lord had touched him. And I know what it means to seek the Lord. Oh my. Yes, I remember nights when maybe there was a child sick. And I remember our oldest daughter Ruth had bronchitis several times as a little baby. And we just really, well, we didn't like to seek doctors, to tell you the truth. I very seldom went to a doctor. But anyway, she needed help. And I can just remember how we used to pray. I remember Pastor, just some of those nights, just prayed all night long for that little baby, that God would heal her of that bronchitis. And I can remember one time, it seemed like it was reoccurred there for a space of time, but one time she was anointed with oil and prayed for, and God healed her. She never had another bronchitis attack after that. Praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God who's able to do exceedingly above that which we ask or think, if we will just put our faith, our hope, our trust in God. So praise the Lord. Here we see this in verse 7. They had a time of peace, and they were prospering. They were able to build walls and towers and gates and bars. And they had rest on every side because they had sought the Lord. They had sought the Lord. Oh, what a difference that makes. What a difference that makes in a person's life. You're not going to get anywhere with God if you don't seek Him. You know, we have to seek the Lord. There's none other that has the answers. There's no other that can give us hope. There's no other that can deliver us. There's no other that can save us from sin. Of course, we know how it reads in Isaiah, the 55th chapter there, where it says in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." And with that seeking, there comes a forsaking, doesn't there? It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, what beautiful promises we have in the Lord. But see, there's that seeking, there's that examining, there's that going before Almighty God. And so important to do it while he is found, while we have a day of opportunity, because surely the night is coming when no man can work. The night of darkness is coming when it's going to be too late to seek the Lord and to call upon him. So now, while it is acceptable, while we have the time, while we have the opportunity, while he is still seeking to save those which are lost, we can call upon him. Oh, what an opportunity. It's an opportunity we don't want to miss at all. And with that seeking, as I said, there comes that forsaking, the forsaking the wicked ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and letting him return unto the Lord, getting back to the Lord. Yes, maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you once served the Lord and had a relationship with him, but maybe you went astray. And it's time to get back. It's time to return unto the Lord. Thank God his hands are still stretched out in mercy. Praise the Lord. Thank God there's still that grace that can be found, that unmerited favor that he can give his children if they'll only seek him. And praise the Lord, it says, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Oh, praise the Lord. There's none like our God who takes our sins and casts those sins into that sea of forgetfulness. Oh, my. So that they're not before him anymore. He's buried them. They're forgotten. We could go down into the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. With those sins being remitted, those sins being cast aside, forgotten by Almighty God. Oh, praise the Lord. He will abundantly pardon. Oh, praise the Lord for such an opportunity as he has given us. So, it tells us in verse 8 here in 2 Chronicles, Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears. Out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. So here they were. They did have men that had skills, and they were mighty men of valor. They had courage and obviously bravery, and were known for it. And it was you know, a fair amount of people there. It's just two tribes here in Judah here. Judah, 300,000 men that bear targets and spears, and Benjamin, the other tribe, 280,000 that bear shields and drew bows. But here comes the circumstance. They've had 10 years of quiet, 10 years of peace, but something happens now. It says in verse 9, and there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. And I tell you what, 1,000,000, my way of thinking, that's 1,000,000. So it's a big host. We know that Judah and Benjamin combined don't have that many people in their military. And besides, he's got 300 chariots. That's quite a number. And here he comes unto Mareshah. And it says in verse 10 that Asa went out against him, and they set in battle, or they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. Now there's something that needs to be done. Here is a problem. You know, they're outnumbered. But praise the Lord, Asa had hope. He knew what to do. And I thank God that he did it. It tells us in verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Oh, praise the Lord. He knew how to pray. He knew how to cry out unto the Lord. And he knew that God could help, whether it was many or hardly any at all. And whether they had strength or whether they had no strength, it wasn't going to matter to God. Because God is the one that has ability. God has the one that has power. And here he knew in whom he had to rest on. He says, for we rest on thee, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. He knew where his strength was. He knew where the ability was. He said, O Lord, thou art our God. And what a beautiful thing it is that we can claim him as our God, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, what a privilege we have when he's our God, the one that we go to in the time of need, the one that fights our battles for us. Oh, praise the Lord, the one that has the strength and ability, the one in whom we have hope. Oh, praise the Lord. And he knew how to cry. Esau knew how to cry out to God. Oh, he saw the army. He saw the Ethiopians. And here they were, a million different men in their military. But God heard that prayer. Oh, praise the Lord. And we're so thankful that God hears the prayers of his people. Oh, the prayers of his people. When they're prayed from the heart, out of a clean heart, they have much power with God. Praise the Lord, they must have much authority. And Asa had cleaned up pretty much at this point. And he's going to clean up all the more as we see as we continue. But here it is. The Lord worked with them. It says in verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. God did a work. It doesn't tell us all the details here, but God knew how to smite them in a wonderful way, and it was in such a way that they began to flee. They began to flee. And it tells us what Asa and the people from Judah did. It says in verse 13, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know how the Lord did it. You know, we don't have to have all the details. We don't know how the Lord's going to fight our battles for us. We really don't know. I mean, a lot of times we bring a problem before the Lord, and all we can say is, Lord, help me. I don't know how to do this, God. I have no ability of my own. I don't know the answer, God. But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God who knows how to fight our battles for us and to bring us victory. He knows how to touch us, how to heal us, how to make us whole, how to answer our prayers. And praise the Lord, that's what he did for his people in such a way that they were overthrown and they could not recover themselves. And they were able to carry away much spoil. And not only that, God's people, it says in verse 14, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. So obviously they took the goods that were of value. They spoiled them of that. God granted them victory. And the fear of the Lord came upon these Ethiopian people, all the cities round about Gerar. And it says in verse 15, they smote also the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord, they could return. Praise to the Lord and thanking God because he had helped them. He had given them victory and the enemy was smitten so that they could not recover themselves. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord can give us victory over our adversaries, over those that come against us, the spiritual wickedness in high places, the unseen things that we often fight. Oh, praise the Lord. All of that God can give us deliverance and victory from, no matter what it is that we're fighting against. That it's not flesh and blood that we're fighting against, but we know that it's the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, that we often fight against those powers and principalities. But the Lord knows how to bring them down. You know, our God was able to destroy Jericho. He brought down those walls of Jericho for the children of Israel. You know, they didn't have to fight in that battle either. The Lord just brought those thick, heavy walls down. And I know they were big. They were heavy. And it's not that he did it just halfway either. They were completely delivered at that point. All the walls came down except the wall for Rahab. God had made a provision for Rahab because she had helped the spies and had faith in her heart. So she was saved and those that were in her house. But otherwise, those walls came down, every single last one of them. Our God knows how to deliver, how to bring down the walls that seem to surround us at times and confuse us and hinder us and set us back. God knows how to bring them down. And as they were coming back from the battle, God sent out a prophet. And I like this little story. I don't know that this is a prophet that they often heard from, but praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 1 here in chapter 15, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." See, there's a warning here too, because sometimes, you know, you have a victory, you have a triumph, and then it sort of, you know, the Lord did it, you know, but sort of goes to the head, and all at once, you know, you're kind of thinking, ah, look what we did, oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that tendency so often to forget what God did in that. It was God that did it. You know, it wasn't we ourselves. And so here's a warning. He says, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him." Oh, yes. "And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Then he goes on to tell them, verse 3, "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law." Oh, you know, it's really hard when people don't have somebody to instruct them spiritually. You know, I do truly believe that the Lord has ordained that his people would be led by spiritual leaders that would effectively know the Word of God and be able to lead them and direct their path and inspire them and help them. Let's just keep our hand in that page, but let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter here, just for a moment. It tells us in verse 11 in Ephesians 4, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." See, there is a reason for spiritual authority in the Church of the Living God. And it, you know, there's a fivefold ministry that is mentioned here. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some preachers, or pastors rather, and teachers. And the reason is for the perfecting of the saints, so that we would all come into conformity to the unity of the faith, as it tells us in verse 13. and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, we come to Jesus as newborn babes. We're not going to know so much initially. But the Lord has ordained. He's given us His Word. And then He puts people in charge so that they can direct those newborn babes, that they could be taught and instructed so that they could come to the unity of the faith, for one thing, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto a mature person in Christ. So one can know what the Lord expects of them. And so important it is. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, we've got to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's got to be some growth. You just can't come to Jesus and just, you know, stay as a babe. You know, we know the natural sense how much care and need babies have. And so it is in the spiritual sense, too. And there's a great need in this world in which we live today for people that are called to go forth into the vineyard to preach the gospel to every creature as the Lord Jesus has instructed. It says in verse 14 here in Ephesians, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Oh my. Yes, there's sly men out there with their cunningness and their craftiness and just waiting to deceive. And these days, I'm afraid, from what I can see on the religious side, there's mostly just children that are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, just if somebody takes a verse out of context and makes a doctrine out of it. And it seems like there's hardly any doctrine that's scriptural that's correctly taught these days. It's all, you know, what everyone thinks. It's like everybody interprets scripture for themselves. And so we have children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, how sad that is. That is not the way the Lord ordained it. So here, back in 2 Chronicles, we see that Asa is being warned here as Azariah, the prophet, is talking to him. Verse 3 again, now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, they should have had the law. They were given the law, but you know, if the priests don't teach it properly, if the prophets don't proclaim it, if it isn't being taught, then pretty soon the people forget. We're all, you know, forgetful in so many ways. If we don't constantly have the book in front of us, I mean the Word of God, I mean the Scripture in front of us all the time, we're soon going to forget what it says. And that happened in old Israel. They were without a teaching priest and without law. It says, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. Oh, thank God for His mercy. And it says, in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. And it says in verse 7, be strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And praise the Lord, there's a God who's coming to give every man according to his work. He's bringing his reward with him. The Lord God, He's coming to bring a reward to those that have been faithful, endeavoring in His work. He sees everything. Whether it's noticed by man or not, God knows it all. And there's going to be a day when, if we're accepted with Him, our work will be rewarded according to what we have done. So here's that encouragement here. because those times in the past, you know, there had been conflicts, there had been vexation. Nation had destroyed nation. City had destroyed city. God vexed them. They had adversaries. But here was an opportunity to be strong, that their work could be rewarded. Oh, praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful that He heard them when they sought Him, that He could be found of them when they sought Him with all their heart. I think of that scripture in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. If we could just go there quickly. If we look at verse 11, Jeremiah 29, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And verse 14, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." Praise the Lord. And of course, this was a promise to them after the 70 years that they would be gathered back after they had been taken away to Babylon. It says, "And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Oh, praise the Lord. But see, there it was. "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Oh, wow. Sometimes people don't cry out with all their heart. It's kind of half-hearted. And it's not from deep within. It's not a true searching of the heart. And it does make a difference. And I do believe this King Asa knew how to seek the Lord with all his heart. I think there was something within him that truly knew the need to seek and please the living God and to follow hard after Him. And so after the prophet came to him, Azariah, it tells us how Asa went forth. If you look at verse 8, it says, "And when Asa heard these words, and the prophet of Oded," all right, he was the son of Oded, Azariah, "the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord." Seems to me some of these things have been forgotten. Maybe they weren't sacrificing anymore unto the Lord. But all at once there was a renewal. There was a revival that came forth. He took courage and he put away everything that was abominable out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of all the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord. Oh my, there's a time in our lives, there's many times in our life when we need to get back to that place, that first love, that place where the Lord called us from, that place where we gave our life to the Lord, that altar that needs to be in our life where we become a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. There's a time for renewal in our lives too, because there is that tendency, that propensity to get away from the good ways. There's a tendency within our human being here to just follow after the things that seem normal. But we know that God's ways are not our ways, and neither are our thoughts His thoughts. We know His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our ways. And we wouldn't know them except that He puts His Spirit within us so that we could be led into truth, so we could be guided, so that we could know the Word of God, so that we could have the still small voice of the Lord speaking to our souls and admonishing us. And I love what happened here. It was a time of revival. It was getting back to that first love, getting back to that place where they needed to be in the Lord, returning to the Lord, renewing, strengthening, getting rid of anything that was abominable, anything in the life that took them away from the living God, from His laws, from His precepts, from His desires, all of that. And so they cleansed the land, all that they had authority over, and they renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. They renewed it. They brought it back. And it tells us, He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to Him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Now, I want you to see what happens here. We know that Asa, he's the king of the southern kingdom there, just those two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. But when the others, the 10 northern tribes, began to see what God was doing, they wanted a part of that. They wanted to participate. It says the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon, those were northern tribes, they saw what was happening. They wanted to participate. It says, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, many of them. They came to him when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Oh, what a difference it makes when revival fires are working, when the Lord is working in hearts, and people are being healed, when people are being delivered, when they're being set free, when the Holy Ghost is falling, and people are falling on their knees in repentance and crying out to the living God. Oh, what a difference that would make. Oh, my, if people would turn from their wicked ways and heed the living God, what a difference that would make. Oh, even in this land, if such a thing would happen. But I'll tell you what, it could start with one. It could start with one person down on their knees crying out to the Lord. And maybe they'll be joined by another person and another person and another person until finally the strangers that are without see what the Lord is doing. Because if my people, which are called by my name, will return unto the Lord, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then God has promised that he would forgive their sin and heal their land. That was a promise that God made to Solomon there, and is still for today. If people will truly repent, truly turn from their wicked ways and get right with the living God, get things back to square one, where right is right and wrong is wrong. Amen. And praise the Lord. People begin to see blessings of the Lord that were falling. God's doing this. He's doing that. Oh, and they could tell it. And they wanted to be a part of that. How beautiful. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. Oh, praise the Lord. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. That's talking of the things that they had brought back from Gerar and the cities round about, the spoil that they had found. And remember, they renewed the altar and they did all this and that. They got ready and then they offered sacrifices unto the Lord. And not only that, it tells us in verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Oh my, what a difference it makes when a person, a people, will cry out with all the heart, with all the soul. That means that you give it all to Jesus, that you surrender it all to Him, that you give your life to Him, and you don't reserve, you know, 2/5 of it for yourself. You don't reserve 4/5 of it for yourself. You give 5/5 of it to God. You surrender everything to God. You say, God, here I am. Please take me. Please use me. Please make me what I ought to be. Please change me. Please give me the thoughts that I need to have and the ways that are of Thee. Please, Lord. And that's what it means to seek the Lord with all the heart and all the soul, with all the strength and all the mind, and to love one's brother as yourself, as Jesus also admonished there when he was on earth, to seek with all the heart. So they sought the Lord. They sought the Lord. It tells us here, and they also said that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Whether small or great, whether man or woman, they weren't going to give anybody any choice. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what's right. We're going to get rid of those idols. Oh my, we're going to come to God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. We're going to do that. And so they made a resolution here. And it says in verse 14, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. They were making a proclamation. They were declaring and they were rejoicing. It says in verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. They hadn't reserved anything for themselves. And praise the Lord. Oh, you know, you're going to find him when you search for him with all your heart, when you seek for him with all your heart. It says he was found of them. He was found of them. Oh, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls. As the Lord Jesus said, oh, just come unto me. Seek me with all your heart. That's the day that I'll be found, if you seek for me with all your desire, all your heart, all your intent, all that. And he was found of them, it says. And the Lord gave them rest about. In other words, no more war at that point. They had rest. And it's another thing that he did. And I'll tell you what, this couldn't have been real easy. It says in verse 16, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Isn't that something? That's his own mother. And as I said, that couldn't have been easy. He removed her from her queenship. She had made an idol in a grove, and he was not going to tolerate it. It wasn't right. So he took that idol, and he stamped it. And obviously, I think that might mean that he took a whatever, an implement to it and broke it in pieces. Or stamped on it so hard that it broke to smithereens. But he stamped it. And it says he burnt it in the brook Kidron. It's going to go. There's going to be no more of it. And that's how we need to hate idolatry and hate the ways of the world, the old ways of life. It's got to be something that we want no part of. We don't want those hindrances. If there's something that resembles the world, then we don't want it. And it doesn't matter. I mean, even if my own precious mother would give me something that was an idol, I can't keep it. And so it was with Asa. He had that kind of zeal for the Lord. He removed her from being queen, and then he removed that idol and completely demolished it, so there were no more traces of that idol at all. No more traces at all. And then it says, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. In other words, he sought to please the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful testimony he had here. And he says, he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. There's a little problem in the next chapter, but we're not going to go there tonight. But you see what happened when they entered into a covenant with the Lord, when they made up their minds that they were going to serve God and none other. And they had set their mind on that. what victory it brought. Oh, what a difference it made. The Lord gave them rest. He gave them a revival. There was a return to the old ways, to the old paths. And they could see it. I love how the others could see what was happening there, and they wanted to participate. They wanted to join. And something tells me, tell you what, if we were seeing, oh wow, blind eyes opened, we were seeing people with cancer being healed, we were seeing lame walking, and you know, people were repenting and turning to God. Oh my, I just think there would be many who'd want to join and be a participant. But that's what happens. That's what revival is all about. When people turn from their wicked ways, their old ways, and they go back to the ways that are God's ways with all their heart, soul, mind, strength, all of that. Putting the Lord in that proper place that He needs to be in our life. You know, I see that pattern in the book of Acts. It was just a beautiful thing when they had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you see such a difference. And of course, we know that one of the first things that happened was the healing of the lame man at the temple there, at the Gate Beautiful there, and Peter and John prayed for him, and God miraculously healed that man so that his ankle bones received such miraculous strength that he could leap. He could walk. He could praise the Lord. And they knew a tremendous miracle had happened. Of course, the Pharisees didn't like that, did they, at all? And we know that after this miracle that they threatened the apostles, they threatened them that if they spoke again in the name of Jesus, that there was going to be further problems. You know, they forbade them to speak in the name of Jesus. But I love what the Church of the Living God did. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, they had been threatened. The apostles had been threatened after that miracle. Pharisees didn't know what to do because they were afraid that you know, now that miracle had happened, what would be the stopping of them? And it would, you know, go on and on and on. And, you know, well, pretty soon they would lose their authority, they figured, I suppose. And you know, we just can't have that. So anyway, they forbade them to speak in the name of Jesus. They must have realized that there was an awful lot of authority in that name. They must have known that, you know, because that's what they forbade them to do. But of course, Peter and John knew that they had to fear God. There was no way they could stop teaching and preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus. There was no way. So anyway, they went back to the company and reported all of the chief priests and the elders and said unto them, if you look at Acts the 4th chapter and now verse 24, this is what the saints of the living God did. It says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And verse 29 says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And praise the Lord. Did the Lord hear that prayer? Oh, did God hear that prayer? I think they were praying with all their heart. They knew there could be consequences if they kept on praying, just like Daniel knew that if he kept on praying to his God, he would be put in the lion's den, most likely. And he was. But he feared God, not man. He knew he had to pray. He knew he had to have that time with God, regardless of what men decreed. And these people, this early church knew that they needed that strength that came from God. They knew there was no way they could stop preaching and teaching in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this is what they did. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And praise the Lord heard that. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, praise the Lord. There's nothing like the anointing of the Lord to give you boldness. Oh, praise the Lord. Men may try to put fear upon us and make us afraid and threaten us and want to make us shake at our boots. But praise the Lord. We know where our strength comes from. It comes from God. When we seek Him with all our heart, when we cry out with all our might, just as Asa knew that he had to have something from God. Those Ethiopians had come to seek and to destroy, but he was going to seek God. And he did. And God fought that battle for him. And praise the Lord, God was with his church too. Praise the Lord, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I could hear that. Wonderful prayers. They were praying, and all at once the place was shaken. Praise the Lord, they were assembled together. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And it says they spake the word of God with boldness. They didn't go hide someplace in a cave or under a table or shut themselves into a room and bolt the door. No. They were speaking the word of God with boldness. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They had power from on high. They had the Spirit of the living God within them, and they began to declare it. And it says, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And it tells us in verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord gave them that power from on high, that authority, that anointing. It says great grace was upon them all. And it says neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Well, they were busy doing the work of the Lord. They weren't afraid. They did go hide under a bushel or go, close themselves off from the world. But they spake the word with boldness. And they, obviously, they had such a love for the Lord that the things of this world had no hold on them at all. They were able to give away their possessions and share them because obviously it wasn't in their heart. They loved the Lord so much. That's all that mattered. And, we see a little bit more of what happens in the fifth chapter. And of course, we know there was a certain judgment there with Ananias and Sapphira who lied against the Holy Ghost and said that they gave a certain amount, or that they sold their property and, were giving it for the cause. But God judged them. He judged both of them, both husband and wife, in this case, and they all fell down dead because they were lying against the Holy Ghost. Peter recognized that right away. They were tempting the Lord, and, they gave up the ghost just then and there. But the Lord used that in a wonderful way, because it tells us in the fifth chapter of Acts, verse 11, it says, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And the Lord began to work in a wonderful way. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. There were no hypocrites, in other words, that tried to pretend that they were Christians. But But here it is. The Lord is working, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought. And it says in verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Oh, the Lord was working in a beautiful way. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord brought them revival. Revival, because they feared not man, but God. And they were not afraid of what man could do unto them. They had asked the Lord for boldness, in spite of the threatenings, in spite of the possibilities, maybe the probabilities in this case. And yet they asked the Lord to stretch forth his hand to heal and to bring forth signs and wonders that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ could be exalted. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God for that kind of strength that they had. Oh, that kind of strength. You know, back in the time of Asa, they prospered because they feared the Lord. They were willing to stand up for the Lord. They wanted to do the things that are right, and they did so. They made things right. You know, they took down the things that were abominable in the sight of the Lord. They cleansed the land. And others could see the power that was upon them, therefore, because they were pure in the sight of God. They did the things that mattered. And praise the Lord, that's what repentance will do, true repentance. When hearts will listen to the voice of God. I mean, you know, I just wrote a track. The question of sin, actually. And one reason I wrote that track is because I realized these days a lot of people don't know what sin is. And I think that it was like that even in Judah. I think, you know, there was no open vision. So the people did the things that were only right in their own sight, according to their own directives. And it's almost like that right now. People have lost their way. They have lost what the Word of God clearly describes and tells and demands. But it's a time for repentance. It's a time for people to get right, to mend their ways, to seek the Lord with all the heart, to call upon Him while He is near. Still that acceptable hour, that door of salvation is still open. I see, wow, how He worked in that early church. All those signs and wonders fell. You know, our God is no respecter of persons. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed at all. He's the same. We have that kind of boldness and we have that kind of attitude. If we have that kind of spirit that the early church had, He wouldn't hinder us from those things that He did then, would He? Oh, I don't believe so. I believe He can heal us today just as He healed when He was on earth. Just as He healed in the early church. I believe that He heals. I know He heals. I've seen Him heal. Maybe not enough, but I know enough to know that He does heal. I've seen Him deliver. I've seen Him set people free. I've seen Him save to the uttermost. I've seen Him change lives. And praise the Lord, He is the same. I don't care how dark it is out there. The light of the gospel can go forth and shine brightly in this dark world if we'll only go forth in the power and the strength of the Holy Ghost and do the works that He has asked us to do. Oh, praise the Lord, if we only seek Him with all our heart. Praise the Lord. If only draw nigh. How is it possible for us to draw nigh unto Him? Because as it says in Isaiah, that 55th chapter again, says, seek the Lord while He may be found. call upon him while he is near. Oh, praise the Lord. He is drawing tonight. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That drawing spirit of the Holy Ghost is still here to draw, to seek, to save those that are lost. Oh, if you feel that tug in your heart, that need to draw nigh to God, to get right with Him, to repent, to turn from one's evil ways. Oh, praise the Lord, that's the Lord giving you hope. If you'll only act upon it. Oh my, the goodness of the Lord that brings us to repentance. That goodness that calls us out of this world and into His marvelous light. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Oh, praise the Lord. There's not another God like our God. Oh, there's not another friend like our God who is so willing to forgive, to forget. Oh, my, to cast away our sins. Just in closing, just to go to Micah, the 7th chapter, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he does for us if we'll come to him in repentance, surrendering the will to him, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. He casts all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's our God. That's our God who takes us from those low places, brings us to those high places, those times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord when He sends Jesus Christ to seek and to save, to bring forth revival, so that those signs can follow that believe. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, oh, for your goodness, for your mercy. Oh, God, for your willingness to forgive us and to change us, to mold us, to make us, Lord. God, I pray, oh, God, oh, Lord, that you would draw, even tonight, Lord, those that you are calling unto yourself, God, and also that you will bring your church to that place, O Lord. O God, where we can see revival falling, Lord. Where, O God, we have those times of refreshing, Lord. Where we can see those signs and wonders, Lord. Where, O God, as Asa sought you with all his heart, Lord. As the early church sought you with all their heart, help us, Lord, to get to that place where we seek you with all our heart, Lord, for that is the day when you will be found, when we seek you with all our heart. Oh, God, we draw nigh to you. We thank you, Lord. We stand in your promises. Oh, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God. Our God is God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Or maybe we can sing a song. It's 31.